Recent changes in the Michigan right to farm requirements have drawn criticisms from those worried it may curtail their ability to keep bees, chickens, or other farm animals in their backyards. But are these changes as threatening to urban farming as detractors fear? Writer Anna Clark has looked into the revisions in the right to farm requirements. She believes the answer is no. Anna, before you get into these recent revisions, tell us just what the Right to Farm Act was intended to do when it was created in 1981.
Well, the Right to Farm Act was created because the state wanted to make it possible for farmers to be protected against nuisance lawsuits filed by folks who were moving out to country areas and perhaps were not prepared for the sights, sounds,
odors.
Yeah, exactly. Of farming life, you know. So what the Right to Farm Act did was create a set of voluntary standards called Generally Approved Agricultural Practices, Management Practices, or GAMPs, that if followed would provide the farmers with an affirmative protection against nuisance lawsuits filed by private or public parties.
So it gave the farmers a legal weapon or tool, if you will, for protection.
Yeah, an affirmative defense if anybody filed this. Because with more of the city slickers coming out to those areas, you know, like with more and more people, they didn't want their, you know, right to farm being voted away.
So we have these GAMPs that a farmer can voluntarily adopt. So this is not mandated. Nothing's mandated.
It's not mandated. It's not a law. The state agency that created these is not in the enforcement business of this. Where this becomes an active tool would be in a courtroom when a lawsuit is actually filed.
And then the farmer could say, well, look, I followed these prescribed steps, these best practices.
Exactly.
And the name Right to Farm seems to imply I have the right to farm my own land, but it's not the case, right? There's no entitlement or right for me to be able to raise chickens in my backyard.
Yeah, this has unfortunately resulted in a lot of confusion over the last few years, especially in the last month or so when there have been some rule changes here. The Right to Farm Act, the name implies that all of us could institute, you know, a farm, a working commercial farm, anywhere we wanted, you know? And the state is trying to clarify that that's not actually the case and hadn't actually been the case, despite the misleading name, that there are actually policies and best practices for doing so in a way that can work well with the community that you are among.
So tell us about these recent revisions that got so many folks up in arms.
Well, after a few years of looking at the rise in suburban and urban farms, people trying to raise animals and produce food in their backyards, you know, chickens, bees, things like that, they realized that their policies did not actually acknowledge them fully. Acknowledge that there wasn't really room. There's really hazy ground. And this resulted in a lot of confusion. You know, where is the legal standing for somebody who wants to have, you know, 10 chickens and a goat in their backyard? You know, how does that, are they protected? Are they not protected? Things like this. So what the rule change did is, after a lot of examination and public hearings and in the whole process, is that they created a new category that didn't exist before of sites for farms, which would be primarily residential communities. And it very precisely defines what exactly that means. And according to it, it says that under our process, we don't think that this is a proper site for urban agriculture, even though we want to expand this practice. We think that instead, the local communities need to decide how to institute
whether
this.
To allow or not allow.
Exactly.
It
basically said that, like, backyard farmers, urban farmers are subject to local ordinances.
So why, what was behind the great outcry? There was one online petition with some 40,000 signatures. What was behind that?
Well, unfortunately, there was a lot of confusion that followed this, and a lot of misleading media reports and reports by people on both the progressive and conservative end of the spectrum to their communities. People felt like, oh my gosh, this is an assault. We lost the right to farm. It has been taken away. Some media reports said that, you know, the flourishing urban farm community in Detroit was being specifically targeted. That, as one outlet put it, the crushing state of Michigan was really coming down on, you know, small, independent, sustainable farmers in favor of, you know, of course, the big industry, big farms, things like that. And, you know, as a citizen, I very much support where a lot of these folks are coming from. I really want to see more sustainable local farms. I love urban farming. I love community gardens. I love all these things. But unfortunately, a lot of the facts got miscommunicated. A lot of people got very upset about what they heard and saw, and a lot of people took action. And what's heartening about this is that there's so many people who care about it, but unfortunately the ground was a little shaky on what they're actually standing on.
So I guess it sounds like the critics and the urban farm activists, Anna, are suggesting that these rule revisions are going to deprive the small urban farmer of state protection and open the doors for cities and towns to ban their bees and chickens and goats. But first, they didn't have state protections. But doesn't it also seem logical that I'll have a much better case approaching my local city hall about whether I can keep chickens in my backyard than I will with a one-size-fits-all view from Lansing?
Exactly. I think that it's very appropriate for decisions on agriculture to be made on the local level. So if folks want to raise goats, there is a ban that is limiting their ability to do that. It's a lot easier to go to City Hall and agitate and change that than it is to start fighting the state. And the fact is, local communities are different. You know, Detroit, Grand Rapids, you know, some of the suburbs, you know, they do have different needs and different situations. So I think it is very appropriate for these to be made on the local level. And a lot of communities have already acknowledged this. There's at least 40 cities that already have local ordinances that support urban agriculture.
The including city, Detroit.
Including Detroit, which, you know, this was a huge one. They passed an ordinance, an urban farming ordinance recently that is a model for how a lot of other people are working. They are working right now to do one that specifically is for livestock, for the care of animals and things like that. That's in process right now. And that's completely appropriate because it's going to be tailored to the needs and situation of Detroit. Other communities can be working on the same thing. And so, yeah, so I guess the gist of the situation is that, first of all, urban agriculture was not criminalized. There's no law that was actually at issue here in the first place.
Okay.
And second of all, that local communities are now responsible for supporting urban farmers and backyard farmers. And I hope people take action on the local level.
And as you point out in your column that's on the Al Jazeera website, that the Right to Farm Act applies to the commercial production of farming products. So if I am raising chickens to eat their eggs and eat chickens at home, my own, that doesn't even, I'm not touched by that. And the same with bees, correct?
Yeah, it's the Right to Farm Act never applied to anything that was not commercial. So anything that you're doing on a personal level for personal consumption is, it was never touched by this in the first place. And, you know, certainly the rule change, therefore, doesn't impact you as well.
And in your column, what are you saying to urban farmers?
Well, I'm saying, first of all, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. I totally support you. I hope that as a member of the media, I hope myself and my counterparts can do a better job of providing you with information that is helpful to you. I think both reporters, urban farmers, and just general supporters of sustainable food in Michigan and a sustainable environment in Michigan can remember to be skeptical, to look for direct source documents, you know, to link to direct source documents so people can get the actual information themselves. And to just finally just realize that when we're like fighting these battles, that we're making sure we're like grounded in facts and not rhetoric, you know, because of course it's a hard battle out there. You know, independent farmers are on, you know, have a lot of, you know, instability because of the kind of, you know, economic structure we have right now. But if we make sure that we're choosing the right ones, I think we'll be okay.
Writer Anna Clark's opinion piece, "The Demise of Urban Farming Has Been Greatly Exaggerated," appears on Al Jazeera's website. She's also written for The New Republic, Politico, Next City, and other publications. Anna, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.